This is Daniel Dickinson from UN News. It's comfortable to endorse ideas similar to our own, but what's the value of communicating between rather than simply within communities? Editor of the BBC's Crossing Divides web series, Emily Casriel, was at UN headquarters during High Level Week and says that during times of charged conversation, the media can play a pivotal role in healing divisions. The UK-based Global Media Corporation's new hit show aims to spark conversation between polarised perspectives over ethnicity, faith, class, politics and between generations, humanising both sides of the argument. Emily Casriel spoke with UN News' Natalie Hutchison in the SDG Media Zone during the General Assembly High Level Week.
I think that a lot of the media, not only news, but also in drama and documentaries, tends to focus on conflict stories because we think they're sexy. And people often go to extremes and we present very simplified views of various positions and we get people talking at each other. So we're not really normalising the idea that we can actually have conversations and that we're complex beings with many different parts of our identity according to which role that we're playing. And so I think that there's a real opportunity for many different sorts of media to actually showcase the conversations that are taking place and help introduce people from different perspectives to have some great conversations. But these don't have to be conversations where they agree. It's just about really listening, some deep listening, and potentially having and creating a deeper understanding for the individuals involved, but also for the people who are consuming that bit of radio or watching that TV or reading an online story.
And you mentioned simplification, which I think is really interesting because I see that a lot, especially in social media, right? I mean, with hashtagging and these buzzwords, which I think are really important to kind of sort of bring visibility to the problem. But what is the danger of simplifying these monumental issues?
I mean, the danger is that people who might believe in particular issues become caricatures in our mind, and we don't understand them as human beings with full complexity. We often interview representatives, for example, of political parties who might feel much stronger about issues than ordinary people who have more nuanced understanding, and therefore we aren't really serving our audiences by giving them an accurate picture of reality. In addition, when on social media we use emotional language, we know that these sort of posts are more widely shared, but when it's an emotional language about a divisive issue, they're going to be very widely shared within our own community and less between communities, and that can help further polarization and division.
Moving on to what you're doing over at the BBC, you're the editor of this fascinating new season of the BBC Crossing Divides, which is bringing together some polarized parties to spark conversations and just understanding between each of them. You've joined people between faiths, business competitors, elderly and children. So what's the importance of them communicating and understanding, in general, us understanding viewpoints different than our own, especially in these times?
I think it's really, really critical for us to reach out to people who believe differently to ourselves, because it's very easy to feel smug in what we believe in and to have a lot of friends who have similar beliefs, and we endorse each other. We feel good about it. We can then vilify the other side.
The echo chamber, sort of.
Exactly. And also, when we feel attacked, we feel a need to defend ourselves, and we feel a need. And it's actually very, very, goes to the very base of who we are. I was just talking to a neuroscientist at NYU in New York University earlier this week, and he was telling me the whole notion of groups and the way we think about groups goes back to our reptilian brain is the way that we think about it. It's very, very core. Chimpanzees are doing the same thing. And so therefore, it can be very hard to have a more nuanced understanding, to be able to look at people and not just fear. But the good news is that if you are in a group with people, like let's say you're in a, you know, both support a particular sports club, even if there are very many differences between you, it's also easy to go and, you know, bridge beyond those differences to feel part of a new cohesive group. So there is a fluidity amongst the way that we perceive people to be different. And the other key message is that there's not one key divide across which we sit. The research indicates that there's a fragmented society. So there are many different ways you can look at and divide people along. And because we have all these different identities, and we might feel differently with somebody about President Trump, but we also might agree with them about eating meat or becoming a vegetarian.
Exactly. It's encouraging to see that simple conversation can kind of flip the sentiment from hate to being able to coexist and being more harmonious. But if the solution perhaps is just a simple conversation, why haven't we just been listening the whole time? Or does it go beyond that?
I think listening can be really, really hard. When we feel defensive, we're not really open to listening. But I also don't think this is a quick, snappy solution. We listen to one conversation and we're forever tolerant to people with all sorts of different beliefs. Because a lot of this stuff is really deeply grained. And as we were talking earlier, is reinforced by social media and our friends. Having these conversations, we don't often have the opportunity to have these conversations. And if we do so, we need to have repeated conversations. We need to get better at really listening. Because often when we are listening, we're actually preparing our next argument. We're thinking about a shopping list. We're not really there. We're not really present. And it takes quite a lot of intention to be able to do that. But if we can do that, we have the possibility of thinking afresh. And I think that's tremendously exciting.
And what about the media's role? Should it intervene in moments, say, of hate speech? And as that differs, you know, far from freedom of expression, can it and should it intervene?
I think it depends what you mean by intervene. At the BBC, we're very aware of what our role is. We're impartial. We're not trying to change the world. We're reporting about it with full accuracy. But also, we know that in times of great division, people may view the same video, the same facts, and have very, very different interpretations, which is why it's so important to really give people backgrounders and also to humanize these issues and not just represent them as caricatures.
Great. And finally, we're on the sidelines of the General Assembly, sort of the bastion of understanding the other side and another side, not just the other side. Are you optimistic about the future of communication in the spirit of unifying a world currently filled with, you know, so much charged discourse? What's your outlook on it?
I think a lot of people, especially young people, are really interested in this type of content. And we found that, for example, we've had our BBC News online stories, they've had 20 million views, and the top five stories, which have had over 1.5 million each, are disproportionately viewed by young people.
Wow.
And I think that young people are really interested. They're frustrated about these divides. They feel that there needs to be greater openness, and I think they can lead the way and show us the same way they are showing us what to do about climate change and showing us that the need to act. I think in this space too, they can show us the need and the possibilities of having those very new and different types of conversations.